Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Welcome someone this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We have been looking at God's word to prepare our hearts along this line, because there are different meetings that should take place in the local assembly. And one of the meetings that should take place in the local assembly regularly is called a believer's meeting. So we're looking at laying hold of the Spirit. And there's a reason why we use that particular phrase, because it has to do with your response to the Spirit of God. So there is an intelligent response that every single believer that is well taught that should have to the Spirit of God. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'll read from verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together? So he's giving you the characteristics of this particular kind of meeting. There are normal church services. When we say normal, well, the supernatural element is always present in every single church service. So normal church service is meant to, for the purpose of teaching God's word and edifying the saints. Hallelujah. We gather to worship in the name of the Lord Jesus. We listen to God's word. We're taught, we're schooled, and then we grow up in the things of the Spirit. There are evangelistic meetings or outreaches where our focus is the lost. We reach out to the lost. But there are also believers' meetings, just like we have prayer meetings. In believers' meeting, the emphasis is found in verse 26. How is it then, brethren? Of course, whoever wrote that, which is the Apostle Paul, is assuming you've started reading from chapter 1. Now, earlier Pastor Tolu said something about the fact that when you're reading 1 Corinthians, we have chapters and verses so that it will be easier for us to reference a particular portion of scriptures. But they are letters. Nobody writes letters in chapters and verses. Maybe paragraphs at the best. In other words, it's a continuous thought. So as you study, understand that at the background of a verse you're reading are certain things that were said before. And those things which were said before will give you a healthy understanding of what is being said now. So when it says, how is it then, brethren, is about to reach a conclusion of something he's been discussing since. How is it, brethren, when you come together? And he's writing church at Corinth. And this also helps us to understand what is said in chapter 12. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, if you're using a good King James just like this one, you see the word gifts is italicized. So the emphasis is not on gifts, because the circumference which Paul teaches covers more than gifts. It speaks about things of and that pertain to the Spirit. Things of and that pertain to the Spirit. In other words, including the believer, including ministry gifts, including the love work, there are things that are off and that pertain to what? The Spirit. In other words, these are things that are related to the new birth in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, concerning things of the Spirit or things that are spiritual, brethren, I would not have you what? Ignorant. So I think a week or two ago, I explained to us the word ignorant there in the original Greek does not imply lack of knowledge. It's more about having more than one knowledge available and you choose to ignore one impression for the other. Hallelujah. So because if you don't understand that, what it says in chapter 14, verse 26 will not make sense. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, the instructions we find in chapter 14 are very interesting. The instructions that seem to teach the believer what to prefer, what to prioritize, and what to focus on. So if you're going to prefer something, you're going to prioritize, you're going to focus, that means it's within your will. It's within the auspices of your will. The emphasis in chapter 14 is there are things to prioritize, there are things to focus on, there are things you should prefer above others. So when it says, now concerning things of the Spirit, I will not have you ignore these realities. So there are realities Paul began to state, you already know and you should not ignore. In other words, I've said some things to you before. Now, most of the other churches, the approach of Paul wasn't this way. And the reason is because before the Gentiles, which were the Corinthians, became believers, they were idol worshippers. And so like I said 2 weeks ago, they had this concept of an idol for every single activity. So there's the God of fertility, there's God of prosperity, there's God of increase, there's God of, luck. There's God of marriage. So there was this thing about multiplicity of idols. So when it says, I don't want you to ignore, I don't want you to relate with God based on your previous understanding of what idols. Hallelujah. So again, now, concerning those things, brethren, I don't want you to ignore certain facts I've said. Now, what are those facts that they have said before? Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Are you going to come back shortly? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received, say we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. What is freely given to us of God? The same spirit of God that we have received. So the spirit that is freely given is that which is freely given, which we are meant to recognize and understand that there are no strings attached. You were made spiritual by the spirit you have received. So you are now regarded and referred to as being spiritual. So being spiritual is not a height. Being spiritual is a reference to the fact that you are of the spirit and all that pertains to you springs from the spirit. Say amen. Now 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the spirit of God was what dwells or is tabernacled in you? So are you not aware? Have you forgotten? Are you ignoring the fact that you are now the temple of God? Emphasis on temple, because the people he was talking to were used to worshiping in temple of idols. So he now says, you have become the temple of living God. In other words, you are that arena where the activities of deity can be seen, where the service of deity is carried out. He was trying to communicate that to them. Why? It's borrowing from their idea of what a deity is. They were used to idols. So he now says, know you not that you are now the temple, and notice, of God, and that the spirit of God is tabernacled within you. A different concept from their worship of idols. It's dwelling in you. So what was their understanding of a temple? It's a place where the activities of a deity are seen and practiced. Say, the service of God is carried out through me. The activities of God's spirit, they abide within me. 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 9, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Notice, what? Know ye not that your body, that's your constitution, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we need to emphasize that. Say, I'm not my own. I'm purchased with a price. The blood of Jesus. I belong to the Lord Jesus. I'm not my own. And my temple, or my body, is the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. So Paul is borrowing from that understanding that, don't you know, are you not aware? Are you ignoring the fact that now that you are spiritual, having received not the spirit of the world, but spirit of God, that you may know the things which I want freely giving to you of God? Or that spirit that indwells you now, there are attributes and characteristics of that spirit which you have received, different from that which you received when you had under the influence of idols. Are you not aware? Are you choosing to ignore, or you are choosing to acknowledge? So chapter 14 again, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you, as a psalm, as a doctrine, as a tongue, as a revelation, as what? An interpretation. Let all things, that's the word allow, let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Now you can summarize everything Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14 as edification. The principles of edification. In other words, that which is given freely should be administered freely for the purpose of edification. So what is he writing them about? He's not informing them, he's instructing them about what to do with the spirit which they have received. Say, I have the spirit. Now, let me say it for them. You don't have tongues, you have the spirit. Tongues will find expression through you because you have the spirit. So what God gives to you is not just tongues. And that's why you cannot say, I have tongues, I don't have interpretation. That's not possible. Because all this worketh, that one, and what? Self-same spirit. So the same spirit by which you utter tongues, that same spirit gives you what? Interpretation. That same spirit leads you into prophecy. That same spirit. One self-same spirit. In other words, the same spirit operating through you in diverse ways as you learn to acknowledge the reality of his dwelling presence. All this worketh, that one, the self-same spirit, is dividing or distributing to everyone severally or individually as he will. And that's where there's often a conflict. Because 1 Corinthians 14 was written to explain what was spoken in 1 Corinthians 12. What did he just say? All this. What are all this? The word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, design of spirits, gift of special faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, all of this are referred to as diverse workings of that one. I mean that same spirit. And that spirit is distributing through everyone individually. Aha. So the variation will be in the individual, not in the spirit. Say same spirit. Has all these attributes. Same spirit has all these gifts. The spirit itself is a gift that God has given me in the new birth. So in the spirit, I have access to all this. Excuse me. So that same spirit is distributing. So what affects distribution? It is as the individual wills. Now, some will say, I have tongues, I don't have interpretation. You have just willed. You have just exercised your will. What should control your will? The knowledge of the fact that the spirit indwells you today. In other words, that knowledge should affect your will and influence your desire. Now, I will, based on what I've heard and what I understand from God's word. So, I'm going to acknowledge that I have the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom so that in distribution, there is no variation. Say amen. Let me say it another way. All this worketh, that one and what? Self same spirit. Now, again, a lot of times, that which you have seen in expression is not necessarily all that is available, but that is all you have chosen to acknowledge. So, notice, what can we all do? All of us can do tongues, and all of us can interpret. That is one thing that you can do, Elijah could not do. That is one thing you can do that Moses could not do. Could Moses prophesy? Yes. Could Moses do tongues and interpretation? No. Why couldn't they do that? Because it has to do with that spirit that what indwells you and I today. Now, all this worketh, that one, the self-same spirit. Which spirit? That same spirit that is inside you now that makes you the temple of living God. Glory to God. All this worketh, the one that is the self-same word, spirit. So, he uses that language for the church at Corinth. He doesn't say that to the church at Ephesus. Why? Because their consciousness was different. So, if I see the word of knowledge, there's a tendency for me to think it's another spirit. And the word of wisdom is another spirit. But it says, that one, I mean the same spirit, is distributing. Why is it distributing? Is dividing. Why is it dividing? It is as each individual what wills. Hallelujah. So what affects your will? The knowledge of what is available. That's what affects your will. So once I know that I'm the temple. The temple means the place where the activities of this deity. Who is that deity? The Lord Jesus, the resurrected one, the Holy One of Israel. All he wants to do, all his activities are resident in his temple, and I am his temple by the Spirit. So what did he used to do then? It is what he will continue doing to show he's the same one yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Did he used to heal? Did he used to bless? Did he used to help? Did he used to strengthen? Did he used to encourage? Yeah, is he doing the same thing today? You can't see him, but you can see me. Oh, glory to God. You can see his temple. See, I'm the temple of the living God. Within me, by the activities of the Holy One. So, the activity of God is seen through the sin as the sin lends to will. So, if he does not ignore the fact that that same spirit that raised Christ from death dwells in him, then all that Christ represents in his resurrection is abiding and present in that spirit that's within you today. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, I do tongues and I interpret for your benefit. I will benefit you this morning because I will come to you speaking. It's my choice to speak because the Spirit is in me. The activity of the Spirit will not be seen until I choose to speak. So I will choose to speak because I will. Hallelujah. So I've committed you this morning. Amen. Say, I'm committed. Say, I'm committed to being a blessing. So notice, how is it then, brethren? When you come together, so there's a reason for this particular kind of gathering. It is that every one of you has. Now, before you came, you had it. Now that you have come together, the purpose of having is to give it. Now, many will never realize what they have since they've chosen not to give. So Paul says, concerning how the things of the Spirit operate, I don't want you to ignore. So to ignore is a function of your will. To acknowledge is a function of your will. So what I choose to acknowledge is what I will allow the Spirit of God to express through me. Notice, go back to that chapter 12 again. Because we're going to jump to chapter 14 very soon. See what it says? Let me read from verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Difference of administration, but the same Lord. Diversity of operations, but it is the same God, which what? Walketh all in all. Now look at verse 10 or verse 11. But all this, walketh that one, and what? The self same Spirit, dividing to how many? Every man severally. Now, who are those men? Look at verse 12. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Notice verse 13. For by one Spirit, we are all what? Immersed into one body. Can you see that? By one, say one Spirit. One Spirit. Not two, not three. One Spirit, we are immersed into what? One body. So that the Spirit that is in me is the Spirit that is in you. And that Spirit operates in diverse ways. And that Spirit will give his workings in a diverse way, dividing to every man. So the variation won't be the dividing. The variation won't be the distribution. It will be in the one who wills. Glory to God. So notice, how is in them, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has. So there is no believer without, because there's no believer without the Spirit. To have the Spirit is to be a believer. And to be a believer is to have the Spirit. So every one of you has. Then the next thing is this. Let what you have be ministered in such a way as to edify. The word let is what permits. That means it's a function of your will. What does that mean? I can choose not to edify. Let all things be done. So if I come to you doing tongues, what else do I have available? It says, I have doctrine, that's instruction. There are instructions I'm meant to give to you. The instruction is hiding behind tongues. Or tongues is a container for all that is written here. There's a psalm, there's a teaching, or there's an instruction, there's a revelation, there's an interpretation. All these things, I carry them inside of me in form of tongues. So how do I edify? It gives you step by step instruction. Verse 1, chapter 14. Follow after charity and desire things of the Spirit, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. The first time I saw this, I was amazed. Because the implication is that if I am to do the rather will mean I am to prioritize prophesying. So who chooses to prophesy? Me. Is God willing? Yes. How is God willing? He gave me Spirit. Is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yes. Does he always want to bless? Yes. Acts 10:13. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost and with. He went about doing what? So in case they didn't know, he still went about advertising the good he's carrying. Healing all, not some. So what Jesus was giving does not discriminate. It's for all. All those who were. So how do we know the character of God? We find it in Jesus. What was Jesus doing? God anointed him. What's the nature of that anointing? Is to do good. In what particular sense? Is to heal. How many is it to heal? All. He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. When Peter started that message, the first thing he said was that the word, you know, the word which was sent to the children of Israel. So Jesus was anointed, the Spirit was present, men were not aware. What did Jesus do? He went about. What was he doing? He was preaching, he was teaching, then he could heal. Let me say it again. He was preaching, he was teaching, then he could heal. He could always heal. The challenge was men receiving. So what did he do to help men to receive? He preached and he taught so that the barrier in their mind can give way. Where was the barrier? In their mind. Colossians 1:21 says that there was enmity in the hearts of men towards God. What created the enmity? Their sin. So there is somebody saying, I know the way I live. God cannot love me. That's enmity. Because God so loved the word that he gave. That's enmity on your heart. It's not enmity generated by God. It's enmity generated by your ignorance. Hallelujah. So Jesus went about, he preached, he taught, so he could heal. But the healing was present, but not everybody could receive. Not because God wasn't willing to give, but because many were not aware he was present. And we're not teaching about healing today. But you look at Luke chapter 5 verse 17. It came past on a Saturday as he was teaching, the power was present to what? Heal. A full-scale service. Sadducees, Pharisees, doctors of the law, they sat down in their companies. You will know them by their robes. And yet, only one person was healed. The person that was healed wasn't the only one the power was available for. It was the one who was aware and who acknowledged the power was present. And the power was present to heal. And only one person got healed. So if you don't know what is happening behind the scenes, you will come to service and say that, I thought he said he has power. So they'll say, I thought he said power. But one person took hold of that power and was healed. The same power that could have healed everyone. So you cannot say, because you don't feel like you have interpretation, that means you don't have. Let God be true. You cannot say, I don't feel like word of knowledge is part of what I have, but you have the same spirit. The spirit that gives tongues, gives interpretation, gives word of knowledge, gives what? Working of miracles, gives what? Gives. It doesn't discriminate. You discriminate. It divides severally or individually to every man. The one who wills is you and I. In other words, God has done his part. He has given us spirit. The bond is in our court, whether we will now edify with what the Spirit has given or we refuse to edify. So Paul is saying, how is it when you come together, observe every one of you has. Yours may flow out via a sound. Yours may flow out through a tongue. Yours may flow out through an interpretation. Yours may flow out through an instruction. But remember, every one of you, as you express the same Spirit in a diverse way, let edification be your goal. Hallelujah. In other words, before I set out, edification already maps out my area of jurisdiction and operation. I want to bless. I want to help. I want to encourage. I want to strengthen. I want to reassure. I want to comfort. And because I want to, the want to is already supplied by God in the Spirit, by His Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there will never be a time that God is unwilling, because his willingness is seen in that though you are not perfect, he gave you his perfect spirit. Hallelujah. You know, I don't think there's any other way to show how willing God is to bless than to look at you in your imperfections and to give you his perfect spirit, to communicate his perfect grace through your imperfect lips. Glory to God. Even your weakness, you know, he told Paul, my strength is made perfect in your what? Weaknesses. So that when they see you operating by the Spirit, they will know the excellency of the power can only be of God. It can't be of man. So when we come together, every one of you already has. Where did you begin? Follow after love. Desire the things that have to do with the Spirit. But emphasize prophecy. Why? He that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men but to God. For no man understands, howbeit in the spirit is speaking what? Mysteries. But the one who prophesies, look at verse 4, or verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Are you with me this morning? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But he that prophesies speaks unto men what? Edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. So where did it start from? But rather that you may prophesy. Why? Prophecy aims at only one thing, to edify. Look at verse 4. For he that speaks in unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that what? Prophesies, edifies the church. Verse 5. Notice, I want all of you to choose to speak with tongues, because tongues is a means to an end, but it's not the end. I want all of you not to despise tongues. I want all of you to start with tongues. I want all of you to prioritize tongues, but you are prioritizing tongues because it will lead you into something greater. So I want you to start with tongues and to begin in tongues, but you already know the conclusion is that you may prophesy. How will you do that? I would rather that you all speak with tongues, but do the rather or the greater that you prophesy, for greater is he, or doing a greater work is the one who what? Speaks with tongues, except he interprets. So the one who is greater is the one who prophesies. What does it mean to prophesy? It means to do tongues and what? Interpretation. Let me say it again. Say, I speak with tongues, I interpret. If I will to do tongues, I can will to interpret. It's the same will. You simply set your will. Somebody says, why? You have never tried to speak and tongues did not flow out. Have you tried it before? You tried it before and tongues like, the best you can say is that my tongue is very, very dry. Go and take water. Your tongue is not dry. It's you that is feeling dry. That's nothing you're feeling. It's not how smooth or how, you know, phonetically sound a tongue is. It's like, I like Brother James' tongues. It's very, very eloquent. It's not very eloquent. That's not what communicates the power of God. That's why a farmer can do tongues. He hasn't gone to school a day in his life. It can even sound rough, but the power of God has been communicated. And you don't see, we express the things of the spirit based on our background and our learning. You can be schooled, you can be unschooled, you can be learned, you can be not online, you can be literate, you can be illiterate. It doesn't matter. The Spirit of God makes no such discrimination. Now we have received, once you have received, when we come together, every one of you were brethren from the same womb, having the same spirit. We have been made to drink of the same spirit. Hallelujah. So I drank of the word of knowledge. I drank of the word of wisdom. I drank of working of miracles. I drank gifts of healings. I drank gifts of special faith. I drank of interpretation. I drank of prophecy. I drank from that same stream. How much will I express? I will. A function of my will. These are the workings of that one, the same spirit, but it will divide to every man, severally or individually, as that man positions his will. So Paul begins to say, I would that you all speak with tongues, but this is where your will comes to play. After you begin in tongues, let that same will move you over that you may rather prophesy. What does it mean? The one that prophesies is doing a greater work than the one who just does tongues, except the one who does tongues, does what? Interprets. That's the rather. So you are going to take a step beyond. It's a conscious now. In verse 6 now, look at verse 6. You notice you cannot find interpretation in verse 6. Look at it. You can find interpretation in verse 6. But meanwhile, verse 6 is after verse 5. So it's building on something. What does it mean in verse 6? Now, brethren, if I come. So I want to illustrate what I meant in verse 5. What did I say in verse 5? I want all of you to do tongues. But let the same willingness to do tongues, let it flow over into what? Until you end up in prophecy. So tongues should be a means to a particular end. The end is prophecy. But don't forget, you don't start with prophecy. Because that is that spiritual utterance in the known language. What do you start with? The unknown. So that you can unwrap the gift that you're about to give to the person in a known language. So he now says, I would that you all speak, but prioritize one, prophesying. And now that says verse 6. He now says, brethren, if I come to you, so this is how I do it. I will come unto you doing what? Tongues. What does it make your interpretation? Because what I profit? It is only profiting when interpretation follows it. Let me say it another way. If I come to you doing tongues, what am I doing? I'm about to pursue love. Pursuing love and ministering love are not the same thing. To do tongues, I'm already moving in that direction of love. Love is motivating me because I already came to you. So if I come to you, that means I intend to do ministry, to give you ministry. I must not cut it short by staying with tongues. So if I just come, I speak. Someone says, Pastor, but the last time I tried to minister somebody, I just spoke. After a while, I walked away. You know what happened? You did not persist. You didn't continue. If you stay long enough, what is happening? You are having issues with your mind. Your thoughts are traveling everywhere. You are like, you know, some people, when they are speaking in tongues, it's like aggression. When they finish speaking, their neck will be paining them. It is speaking in tongues, not shouting in tongues. It's not roaring in tongues. And it's not cringing in tongues. It's speaking. That means the same normal way you speak to me is the same way you want. You were definitely, you don't have to change your face or squeeze your face. If you want to close your eyes for concentration, go ahead. But the secret is not in closing eyes. You can close your eyes for concentration, but it is not, that's not the secret. In other words, when you close or open, the spirit is in you. So, if I come to you, I've already made the move to come to you. I'm meant to persist. I'm meant to win the argument in my mind. What's that argument? Oh, let's say. You know that song? Oh, let's say. God, don't fall my hand, though. No, you want to fall your hand. Because you are not choosing to believe scripture that if I do tongues, there's interpretation. That you can do tongues is what should give you boldness. There must be what? An interpretation. Isn't that, Pastor, when I did that tongue, there's no interpretation. No, there is. If there was no interpretation, you wouldn't say, but rather should let you know there is an interpretation to what you just said. Now, two people will learn. The person you are ministering to, and you also will learn in the process. Because you will say things by the same spirit you used to do tongues to the individual that will benefit the person and that will encourage you to what? To do more. Glory to God. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you want prophesied, for greater is he that prophesies than he that does tongues, except. Except is also a language of permission. It means except he decides to interpret, which means to interpret, not interpret, is a function of your will. What affects your will? Look at verse 14. Are you with me this morning? Look at verse 14. For if I pray, see, I pray, the Spirit doesn't make me pray. I choose to pray. For if I pray in tongues, I'm going to skip the word unknown because it's not unknown. It's unknown to the speaker, sometimes to the hearer, but it's not unknown. If it's unknown, it will require interpretation. So if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. What is it then? I will. You can write that in capital letters in your Bible. I will. Oh, glory to God. I will. I will. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the what? Understanding. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit in this context? I will pray with tongues. What does it mean to pray with understanding? I will pray with what? Interpretation also. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will what? Sing with the Spirit. I will sing with what? Understanding also. So, look at the next verse. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the next say what? Amen at the giving of sin. He understands not what thou sayest. So, I'm going to bless in the Spirit or give thanks in tongues, which is a function of my will. It is okay as long as I'm alone by myself. But if I come to the church, the guardian of the saints, I must recognize that I am in presence of the saints, giving thanks in a way that the others will not understand is not edification. Though when I'm giving thanks in tongues, I'm giving thanks well. But the other, who is the other? The audience, the saints I'm coming to, they are not what? Edified. In other words, edification has to do with my understanding. So when Paul says that, let all things be done unto education, appeal to the understanding of men, that's how comfort comes. I just come to you. You sense the power of God. You feel the power of God as I did tongues. But you cannot say amen because you don't know any of the things I've said. You can just sense this is God speaking. What is God saying? I didn't interpret. I did not edify you. I did not do the rather. I did not enforce the greater. So it's a function of my way to do the rather, to enforce the greater, by choosing to do something. It says, if I give thanks in tongues alone, I'm doing it well. But remember, the audience is not what? Edified. So what is it? Since I can do tongues at will, I will do interpretation also by what? By will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Now that's important because again, it says, look at, where are we now? Look at the next verse. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, that phrase is very interesting because more than you all doesn't mean I do more tongues than anybody. The more than there means that I go from tongues to edification. I move from tongues to interpretation. That's the word more than there. The more than means I do it in such a way that the people that are around me will be edified. If I look at the next verse, see what it says. It says, yet in the church I rather speak what? 5 words my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in tongues. So the more than Paul is referring to is this: when I do tongues and I'm in the garden of sins, I go on to interpretation, and it's a function of my will because I rather. So I will focus on interpretation, which is the rather. Hallelujah. So I rather ensure that the saints get the benefit of everything I'm saying, because whatever I'm saying is for the benefit of the saints. That's the emphasis. So if I come to you speaking, I am already pursuing love. I must reach the goal or the destination. The goal is you must be edified. How will you be edified? I have started with tongues. Tongues is an envelope that carries many gifts. So when I begin to interpret, I'm unwrapping the gift so that you can. Now, if I say I bought you a gift, it stays in the package that it was delivered. You cannot open it. You don't know what's inside. You cannot tell by feeling. You only know it can be something with a gift. Until you unwrap it, will you be able to appreciate what is inside? You can't. Glory to God. You can't. So your appreciation of what is inside has to do with it being unwrapped. In other words, you recognize, if I give you keys, it can be the key to anything. This day and age, car keys don't look like car keys. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some car keys are like buttons. So you cannot say, you just bought me a car. No. Until I tell you what the key opens, it could be a house. There are electronic doors now. They even work by fingerprints. So they are different. So if I just give it to you, the aim is your appreciation, which is attached to your understanding, will come alive when you recognize is the key to a car, is the key to a house. That's when appreciation comes. Then your response will show you understand it. But when it is only a key, that's what tongues is. I simply gave you a key, you don't know what can open. Even when I give you a key, you know it's a car. If it means of 7-8 new cars outside, which one will you use to open? Let's say you are doing test and you are trying to, ping, 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 ping. God help you if none of them opens. So in other words, it says, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? So tongues is a way of hiding profit and conveying profit, but it is profit only when I interpret what I just said. Glory to God. And notice, everyone that can do tongues, every single one can interpret. And that's so important. If I look at what Paul says again, in that same, look at what he said. Go with me to verse 28. Glory to God. Verse 27. If any man speak in tongues, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret, or let it be one after the other. Look at the next verse. He said, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself, and what? To God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Now, again, King James, that's one of the reasons why we study the meaning of words. When it says, let the prophets, those who are prophets, let them speak two or three, and let the other judge. Jump with me to verse 37. And let's look at who is referring to as a prophet. So we're about to discover whether you're a prophet or not now. If any man think himself to be what? A prophet or spiritual or given to the things of the spirit, let him what? Acknowledge that the things that are right to you, that are what? The commandments of the Lord. So who is a prophet? The one who is spiritual or given to spiritual things. So this somebody who regularly speaks by the inspiration of God's Spirit is called spiritual or given to the things of the Spirit. And that's something crucial. Who is that person? The person who has acknowledged. That's what to know very well, to recognize. To embrace the fact that that same Spirit that gives me tongues, gives me interpretation, gives me instruction, gives me psalm, that same Spirit. So the person has what? Acknowledge. Let the one who is spiritual, is now called prophet, let them speak two or three. Those who are given, who have acknowledged the reality that the things of the Spirit belong to us, let them speak two or three. And says, let the other judge. Ah, that's where the confusion is. The word other doesn't mean another. It's the word hallows. Let the same person judge. The word judge there means, let the same person who spoke in tongues, let him interpret. Let him do what is right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? Look at it again. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge. That is to know very well, to know precisely. Let him take hold of the instructions that we're given. Right from verse 1. Let him acknowledge that those are commandments and advice. In other words, is walking the reality of the fact that that same Spirit devised to every man. So in that same Spirit is tongues, interpretation, prophecy. Let him acknowledge that is the reality. So the one who is spiritual here is the one who has chosen to step out in the things of the Spirit. He doesn't just carry them. He administers them for the purpose of what? Edification. Now go back to that verse 29 again. So we know where a prophet is now. Let the prophets, or let the one who is spiritual, let them speak two or three, and let the other. So the word other there doesn't mean another person. It means let the same person conclude or let him judge. How does he judge? He interprets. By giving us the fullness of what he's trying to say. Look at the next verse. If anything be what? Revealed to another. Okay. The another now is another person entirely. So let me put it this way. In a believer's meeting, let me say this. Somebody starts out the meeting. How do they start out? It can be through a song. It can be through an utterance in tongues. And then an interpretation. But one thing is sure. The more people speak, the more you become aware of what you carry. Let me say it again. In other words, one person is speaking, another person becomes aware or gets another part of what ought to be said. Let me say it another way. Everyone who is spiritual, they do one thing in common. They all stand to speak. When somebody who is giving to the Spirit of speech is speaking, you who are also giving to those things will know what to say, or you either hear, or you see, or you begin to know. I mean, even sometimes. So notice a lot of times I say, can somebody come up and give us a message in tongues and interpretation? You see one or two people in the whole assembly get up. And then the minute they start, or somebody come and sing in spirit, me too, me too, me too. Where does me too come from? It's those who started. They are starting, encourages and emboldens you, and suddenly you begin to pick up either a song or a psalm or a, I mean, even of them. Okay. Now, so they are first responders, those who initiate. The Bible calls them spiritual. They have acknowledged. They have learned to overlook the way they feel. They feel the same way you feel. They simply don't acknowledge their feeling. They acknowledge God's word above their feeling. So they will come to you speaking. Let me say it again. They don't come to you feeling. Hallelujah. You know, this morning we're going to minister one to another. I will not come to you feeling. I thank God for feeling when it comes. But it's fickle. I can't rest on it. I have to rest on Jesus is risen and is forever seated. And it's my boldness to minister. Hallelujah. So, despite the way I feel, is Jesus risen? Is he seated? Is he reigning? Do I have that same spirit? Does that spirit dwell in me today? Then the activity of that same spirit will be found through me. Go back to chapter 12. We're going to start demonstrating shortly. Verse 12, verse 11. But on this walketh that one and what? The same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The word walketh is the word energy. It means to express something to another. So how does God walk? How does he walk? He walks by what? If I come to you speaking. The walking of the Spirit is seen when I begin to speak. Is there a walking? Yes. How will it be seen? I begin to speak. So when I begin to speak, whatever is being walked will be executed through me as I begin to speak. So if I come to you speaking, what will be the end of my speaking? Profiting or something that will benefit. What will benefit you? Either I come to you by revelation or by instruction. So in our words, many times, anastro prodia tile gigi, shikros tefrediana katia, enun stroma telia, ange, ange, ange. Hanging all over you is the grace and the glory of God. For the year is just beginning for you. And there are things that are about to drop and things that are prepared that will be facilitated as you learn how to acknowledge that the greater one in you will put you over every seeming obstacle. And so don't let the lie of the enemy prevail in telling you the year is already over and ended and that which you sought you have not found. Tell him you have found it, because the Spirit of God within you is a testimony of all that God has said he will do and he has done. Glory to God. Now somebody says, Pastor, why did you close your eyes? Well, sometimes you do that for concentration. But again, it's not about the fact that I'm picking my words one by one. I take my time. I can speak in a slower fashion. You don't have to speak as fast. You know how many of you know I speak very fast? Now, if you speak slowly, yes. How will your interpretation come? Slowly. How will your tongues also come? Slower. Are you giving to speaking much? You know what I mean? As in, if you say that, I just have small gist for you. Not small gist, 2 hours after. It still says small gist. How many people like that? No, I won't talk for long. You check your phone. It's now 1 hour, 45 minutes. It's only just, I just want to say, when they want to say a particular thing that happened, they know, they paint pictures, the story, they have language. Guess what? When they're preaching the spirit, they will do the same thing. Just us on and on. It's saying the same thing, just saying in different ways to you. Now. That's how you are. But if you are given to brevity, guess what? You will speak in short phrases. Is it the spirit? Yes. Operating through all this walking, that's the walking, which we can now see when you began to speak. It is the walking, but we will not see the walking until somebody gets up to what? Speak. So everything that is in the house this morning, which is the walking of God's spirit, we will see that walking when somebody stands up to what? To speak. That's what it is. And that's why, notice, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, he that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men but to God. For no man understands how be it in the spirit. He speaketh what? Mysteries. What does the next verse say? But he that prophesies speaks unto men what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Verse 4. But he that speaks in tongues does what? Edifies himself. So in verse 2, what are you doing? You are edifying yourself. So you can start with what? Edifying yourself. What are you doing? I'm building up myself. What is the goal? I want to prophesy. So I first do something, I build up myself so that I can do ministry or minister to somebody around me. Glory to God. Now, when do you edify yourself? Preferably before you get to the person. Hallelujah. Preferably before you get to the person. So when you say, it's time to minister, is it okay for you to do 2 minutes as you are seated, just doing tongues? What are you doing? You are building up yourself. What are you doing? Edifying yourself. Why are you doing that? So that you can effectively minister. Because when you come to another person, it's no longer time to edify yourself. It's not time to minister to that person. If I come to you speaking, so I'm saying something, I may start off in tongues, but I will unwrap it, I will, so to speak, unhide it and tell you what the Spirit wants you to know. It could be an instruction. It could be direction. It could be healing about to be ministered. It could be a revelation. It could be any of those things. But how do I start? If I come to you speaking with tongues, my intention is to profit you. But I know the tongues, therefore, is a means of communicating that particular blessing to you, which I will now unhide, so that you can embrace what? The blessing. Though it is in tongue, it is still profit. But it's profit in a way it cannot be received. So for me to ensure it is received, I must unpack it. Glory to God. That's what interpretation is. Now, notice when you come together, verse 26 again. Everyone, say everyone. Say, I have a psalm. I have an hymn. I have interpretation. I have instructions. They are in me by the Spirit of God. So it divides severally as I will. So what will I now? Say, I will take tongues. I will take interpretation. I will take word of knowledge. It's not difficult. What do you do? While you are edifying yourself in tongues, start taking. Just start taking. Just start taking. How do you take? Understand that as you are speaking in tongues, acknowledge the fact that that one and self-same spirit, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, design of spirits, they are all within me. They are all within me. I think I was in a meeting. Were you there in that meeting? On Friday. You were there. You were not there on Friday. Who was there on Friday? In my conference. Yeah. You watched on there. Okay. What was there? Starting, you were there. In my conference. So, I just went to attend. I usually go just to be blessed. But I was sitting in front. So the minister called me. And there was somebody else that just finished ministry. Somebody else gave a message in tongues. And the presiding minister said, I should get up and interpret. That's not what it does. That's starting. God. God, help me. Help me. No, that's when to go forward with the help that you have already received. Listen carefully. This argument with the mind, where that is, you are not being spiritual because you are saying God has not given you what he said he has given you. He has given you interpretation. Sometimes some of us, we need to be put on the spot so we can realize what we already have. So in a believer's meeting, you can say that, Sabusayo, stand to your feet, come forward, I come and minister. Me? Yes. Don't you have the Spirit? Yes. Then come forward. Zavivian, stand to your feet. Come forward. That's what I'm saying. I didn't pray very well this morning, actually. Because the time I went to bed, we don't care whether you pray very well. Peter was going into the temple at the hour of prayer. He was here to pray. But he told the man by the gate, such as I have, I don't get it in prayer. I take it with me to prayer. All prayer does is make me aware of what I already have. But prayer doesn't give it to me. Hallelujah. Such as I have. They say, John, this man has done something. Well, let's pray for. You know what? We'll come back. When we finish praying, we'll come and minister to you. He said, such as we have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As long as it's reason, I always have. Hallelujah. Prayer can make you more conscious. Prayer can help you to yield. But prayer doesn't give you what God has given you by his Spirit. It doesn't come by prayer. Prayer makes you aware. Prayer helps you to edify yourself, but prayer doesn't bring it. Don't forget that. So, it's good for you to have prayed. You have not done well that you didn't pray. Hallelujah. Before coming to that, you have not done well, but prayer is not the reason why you're able to minister. Prayer helps you to minister and communicate effectively, but prayer doesn't put it inside of you. Say, I have the Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit. So, in prayer, you can effectively minister more accurately what you have. Now, again, let me say that accuracy is not the target. Edification is the goal. What will I say by the Spirit that will bless you? That's my focus. It doesn't have to be meditated. In fact, it's never been meditated. Because if I tell you, Nukude, Fredile Gie, Engrus Tefriana Kite, and Nugunku Libra Ketiana and Kike, let's do some brogos. Now, what I'm about to say is for her. Oppositions, though mounted. Well, okay, I'll tell you that part later. But I'll say the ones I can say now. Oppositions, though mounted from certain quarters, that looks as though the limit has been pegged upon how far you can go, but you have made the right choice. You have drank from the right stream. You have connected with the helper of destinies, the one who sets a man on the right path. And because you have connected, he will shame all those who are standing by to mock. And it will cause your progress to shine until all can see it pays to serve the living God. Hallelujah. And that was for her. I don't know what she's going through, but I know. I can guess from what I've said, and there's a part I didn't say I would say to her because of how sensitive that particular part is, but I didn't know until I began to speak. So you begin to speak, you know after the fact, or interpretation will come, which will not just encourage the person, you also will learn. You also will learn. As I looked at you, I saw three choices to make. Three choices to make. A new season has come, and there are choices to make. Among the three, which one should you go for? The first, the second, or the third? And as you laugh, one will be amplified more in your heart, more than the other two. And then, guess what will happen next? It should be the stepping stone and the recovery of all that you previously lost. For this is the season for much progress. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Now, I can do that all day and go to each person. If I come to you speaking, what shall I profit you? So there's profiting in what I'm saying to you, but you cannot get that profit if I don't interpret. Now, what not to do? Don't start arguing your mind. What will I say? What will I say? What will I say? No. Speak and stay with tongues until what to say comes. It is fine. You know, we're not timing you. Abi, I've gone to listen to somebody. So I say, what you want to say? Say what you want to say quickly. Say it. Say quickly. Just, if you're anyway, just go away, young person. Just look for somebody else that is patient, that will not put you under pressure. Hallelujah. Why? If I come to you speaking, Ibuna Telegias, the Sukura Vatila Ante, Enkugu Frestile Estike, Esusugu, enough rain has come at different times just to make things to blossom and to grow, just enough to satisfy basic needs. But abundance is yet to come. But abundance is about to come now. And you're entering that season where the rain upon your land will fall so abundantly and you'll be able to get what you really qualify for. For now you are in sustenance mode, but now you step over into abundance mode. Hallelujah. Now, did I defy you? Did that make sense to you? It doesn't have to make sense to me. It should make sense to the person I go to. If I come to you speaking, that is the rule. I will come to you on speaking. It's not that I'm just saying, I will not get up from this chair until God tells me what to say. You will never get up. You will never get up. Imagine Peter telling the man that way, we're not planning for miracle today. We came for prayer meeting. John, what do we do now? He said, John, you have money, you have change there. Give him change. The man has been collecting change since. He needs something more than change. Jesus wants to help that man. Peter, you are the temple of the activity of Jesus to that man. Don't say until you pray. Jesus did not rise from there because you prayed. It's because he's risen that you pray. Hallelujah. So what do you do? Give that man what you have. Tell your neighbor, give me what you have. By the Spirit of God, give me what you have. Now, so fast. Now, when I say give me what you have, let me tell you what the Spirit of God said. Sometimes you give a message in tongues. You may not like the interpretation. You, that you are giving it. Because interpretation will be like, give that person money. Give the person money now. You know, someone will be like, just quench it. This is not Spirit of God. Do you know my pocket? But you know, if for every step of obedience, there's a divine reward. Yeah. Because Jesus will not appear to give a man money. He will send you, he will send me. And as he sends us, you may not know that's the answer to that man's prayer. Somebody sits down in church and says, I don't even know how I'm going to get home today. There's nothing to eat. And you give him an interpretation. And say, I just sense to give you this money. It's only 2,000. Please manage it. And you don't know that 2,000 the person is managing is the answer to the person's prayer. The person goes home saying, God is so faithful. When I left the house this morning, I didn't know I was going to get home, but he answered my prayer to another saint. That is interpretation. But you know what I'm using? The Lord will provide. Lord bless you. God bless you. God will honor you. God will provide for you. As you are going, God will do a miracle. You are the miracle. You are the miracle God wants to use. As you learn to obey, God rewards. He rewards in mighty ways. Because God honors obedience. Hallelujah. God honors obedience. That's what God does. So I've already told you in advance now that you are going to minister today. You know, I've told you now. That's word of knowledge. That you are going to minister to somebody. One of you is going to minister to somebody. I didn't say everybody. And you will say to give the person money. In Jesus' name, give the person the money. I've already told you now. It's going to happen in this meeting. That's somebody's prayer. And I didn't say you should know that. Start looking at a person's face. You cannot tell people who have money by their face. Everybody dresses good to church. I hope you know. You know, dressing good doesn't mean there's anything in your pocket. How you don't know? You are still believing that. As you're looking fine like this, it means you have money. Let me say any other thing. You have not come to rejoice with me. For in fact, it's worship that lifted you up because there was zero in your account. The worship just helped you. God is still faithful. It's true. Because when you look at your account, there's no sign of faithfulness there. And debts are staring you in the face. And somebody just comes and just says something that you needed to hear to remind you that the Father is faithful. Hallelujah. So don't dab into the flesh. Stay with the Spirit. And let the Spirit through you. Mini Seluko, Belianto, Shurupras Tekitania, Kugodefrastiliki, Ingungu Lifrastikilia Tashike. Who is it that has been having this severe tummy ache towards the right side? Where I'm standing right now. Who is the person? That has been having this severe. It's been severe. Severe. Who is the person? Okay, no, I can see you. Is there another person like that? Now, besides this person, is there another person? Okay, I can see two other people like that. It's been a bit on the severe side. You know you are healed right now. In the name of Jesus. All this worketh that one as self-same spirit. Now receive gifts of healings. And you are healed. And the pain is gone. And your body is free. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody says, Pastor, how do you know there's someone in this row? Because when I turned here is when the thing came up. So I knew from experience that I didn't receive it until I turned there. And I got close to this place. Because it sometimes operates that way too. You will know when you sometimes move close to people. Sensations will come. Some are so strong, you will think you are the one that has stomachache if you are not experienced. Until you now realize that it is a person's pain that is being manifested through you. And then once that is in place, just understand that gifts of healing is present. Hallelujah. Gifts of healing is present. What do? You just administer it. It's by the Spirit. Just administer it. Just be bold enough to call it. Don't argue with it. Say, what if nobody stands up? Have you ministered what you ought to minister? I hope you know. There are cases you will call and people will not respond. How many of you know I'm talking about? Don't be too concerned about your reputation. If you want to walk far with God. I went to minister, she was in school then, when I ministered at school, and I called for a case. I even coded it. I saw what happened, and I coded it. And I said, see me after the meeting. I spoke in a way it was coded. The lady would understand. Because what lady was that she did an abortion? She was a young lady. And she was discouraged. She felt God did not love her again. And there were some complications and tumultuous. And she was in fellowship. In fact, she was serving in that particular fellowship. So I said in such a way that she would understand. But those kind of people, we don't call them in front of everybody because of brethren. You know brethren? You know brethren? How can you be in a crusade? You know, say somebody who was a former witch should come out and testify about when she was a witch. She will never find husband in that place. You don't know? What people are thinking, maybe some is still remaining. You cannot tell. This is that for me. So she used to go for a meeting. That was what before. Now she's saved. Over here, she's not. But me, you come and say those kind of things publicly. So come and testify. Don't testify. Because brethren will not forget. They remember. Chance of finding your husband there is gone. Because nobody, even if, just imagine your future mother-in-law is saying, Now, the person did not come to see me. If you're not experienced, you just assume that maybe you were wrong. No, I knew. I can't manufacture that. I knew. A year after, I was in a shopping mall. Somebody just ran and hugged me from behind. You know, you feel like dropping your basket. Like you're using the shop. And I turned, I saw one tiny looking lady. Like, say, sir, my name is so-and-so. I was so-and-so last year. You give so-and-so word. Immediately you spoke, my body was healed. I was a person and I was restored to God. Now, that's a year after. So if you are true, like, you know, nobody even came out. Right? Now that one I also said, I'm not going to say because nobody may come out now. Some cases are difficult, but I've been to a meeting for student environment also. And I also spoke in a coded manner. I saw what it was. And I saw some people in lesbian relationships and homosexual relationships, and they were in fellowship. And I told them, and I called other cases. That's wisdom. And I called other cases, other normal cases. And I said, everybody, as I'm going to the car, just come and see me. So about 11 people followed me. You know who is who. And as we were coming, I will separate them from the rest of the people. I minister to them one by one. Why? God is not in the business of embarrassing people. Don't forget what I just said. It's important. He does not. God does not. God does not embarrass people. So all those ones that you have been seeing, those prophesy, Papa. You are the king of your father's, yet it's a problem. That's not your family. You just scatter your whole family. It's your mother. It's your mother's mother. That's when you now curse the woman. Even if it is true, there's a wisdom in how to what? Minister. You don't create enmity. God doesn't embarrass people. It doesn't. What matters is that the lady received and she was healed. And she was free from guilt and condemnation. That's what really mattered. Hallelujah. So when you're ministering to the saints, let the wisdom of God and love what guide you. Even if you're giving privileged information, let it remain privileged. Let it remain privileged. In pastoring, there's a supernatural ability. I didn't discover it. I didn't know about it on time. When I said I didn't know, it used to function. I didn't know what it was. When people confide in me, God is my witness. I cannot remember the weaknesses or faults that they mentioned to me. I'm not joking. I discovered it was actually a pastoral ability. I can't see you the next day and look at you from what you're... I can't. It's not that I'm not trying to. I just simply can't. It leaves my heart immediately it's done. As though it's Jesus that stood there. Jesus doesn't really attribute all your faults. It doesn't. Hallelujah. It doesn't. But I just used to take it and ask for that. It was actually a pastoral grace. Hallelujah. So it's called walking in love. You can't see people from the angle of their faults and their weaknesses. You can't, you just can't. The blood that washed them, that sanctified them, is more than enough. Glory to God. It's more than enough. You don't see any past. You only see the present that Jesus has given them and the future that they have in him. And your ministration will flow from that direction. You know, if your mind is bogged down with whatever, even your prophecy will be affected. You can't seem to say more than what you know about them. That's the problem. So whatever God wants to say now is being colored by your own perception and not necessarily what the Spirit is saying. Say, I have the Spirit. I will come to you speaking and I will minister to you and I will profit you this morning. And profiting will be yours in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and speak in tongues, son. Go ahead and build yourself up, son. Edify yourself. Now, you are going to stand up shortly and go and minister to somebody. Now, I'm watching you to see whether you get up or not. So, edify yourself now. I have time. But you are ministering to somebody today. You are. You are. You are. You are. And one of the ways we see boldness is you can do joy. You can just laugh. You can just laugh to embolden yourself. You can just laugh to embolden yourself. And many times when you laugh or sing, you are more in tune with what the Spirit of God wants to say. There are events that will unfold. Events that will be, that will come to pass. That are able to prepare your heart and warn you before they occur. I will have set some things in motion in and through you. You will be well positioned to take advantage and not be at a disadvantage when those events play out and when they unfold. I'll put you in a place where you'll be able to harness victory seemingly at will. For the victory will have come announced ahead of time and you will not find yourself ever disadvantaged. So stay with me and walk with me. I'll move into it gradually and patiently as I build you up and your capacity increases and enlarges. Then the position you were prepared for, you'll be ready for it. And I will move you in. And abundance will come as a result of taking that step, that right step, and stepping to that right place that is prepared for you. For you'll find that on the inside, there's a readiness that you already have and a preparation that has been done in time past. And you'll find that on the outside, you are more than ready and prepared to take hold of all that comes your way. For this is that season when the change that will come will be permanent, and increase will be your song all the day. Increase will be your song all the day. Increase will be your song all the day. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Well, stand to your feet and go look for someone to be a blessing to you this morning. Quickly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we exalt you. We give you praise. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you. 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 Oh, we exalt you. You are remembered by the right people. Supernatural provisions come your way. No trace of lack is found in your life. No trace of lack is found in your experiences. You are remembered by the right individuals. There's a full supply for you. There's a full supply for you. You're no longer stuck. In the name of Jesus, abundance of provisions come your way. In the name of Jesus, to the ministry of angels, abundance is coming, 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 in the name of Jesus. Creative channels are opened up within you. Creative channels are opened up within you. In the name of Jesus, things you never thought could be monetized, they are monetized to bring you to a place of increase. To bring you to a place of increase. Your skills are sought for. They look out for you and they find you. And you are positioned that right in the name of Jesus. This is your season. This is your season. This is your season. In the name of Jesus, your name is on the lips of the right individuals. In the name of Jesus, your name comes to their attention. Your name comes to their attention. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, we exalt you. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I saw Elomondros Telebresti Lagaste Kesturu Tafrana Kasia. Ah, Setulavrenia Katile Akuku Shefestiana Site Kestuso Pro Estefretika Laki 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 Lema Atusto. Oh, Sefretili Kachtia. Ah, Kukuri Vrastileki Ashenia Dasite Kemen. Thank you. 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 In the area of relationships, marital relationships, where there's been a delay, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the yoke of that delay is removed. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I saw that which is bent straightened out. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, whatever has caused delay is removed off you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In quick succession. In quick succession. The next 1 year. Surprising testimonies. Surprising testimonies. Surprising testimonies. In quick succession. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all the things you've spoken to us and you've revealed to us. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, Frananeles Chitula Hatale Briste. Enstrona Kapaliana Gestia. Estrongun Le Kitini. Ah, Shetele Mata. It doesn't look like what he said to you before. It doesn't look like so many storms. so many. The minute you were disposed in a particular direction, so many storms and challenges began to arise. The choice wasn't wrong. It's the enemy that's afraid. But victory is yours. Victory is yours. All oppositions are silenced. All storms are stilled. In the name of Jesus, you have the victory. You have the upper hand. In the name of Jesus. And the seeming lead that was placed upon productivity is removed. Is removed. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Father. Oh, we exalt you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. Glory to your name forever. Now, if you're into handwork, anybody like that, you're into handwork? Okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. There seems to be quite a number of us. You're into handwork. Okay, come forward. Just come forward. You're into handwork. Just spread. You can spread into two lines. Handwork. So, you know, people that are into, I'm sure you know what I'm by, crafts. Nail, you should know what handwork is. I don't know how to even illustrate it now. Where's peace? Yes. She's here. Okay, not your peace, our peace. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes and let's just trust God. I'm going to stand here and pray, and then she will just hold your hands and just touch you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I think I want the pastors to also come forward and join in to make this easier to do. In the name of Jesus, something about the work of your hands this season. Something about the work of your hands this season. In the name of Jesus. thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Pastors, go ahead. Yes. You are wonderful. So wonderful in your praise. You are wonderful. So wonderful in your praise. Hallelujah. How many of us were ministered to? Let me see your hands. Somebody give you to do something specific. Okay. How many of us, nobody ministered to you today? Besides the pastor, so. Because Pastor is about to raise his hand now. Nobody ministered to you today. Let me see your hand. Nobody ministered to you today. Besides them. Nobody. Is there any other person that nobody ministered to you? Oh, okay. Nobody ministered to you. Come. Well, stop. That is come if you want to be ministered to. You want to minister to? He's wondering whether she wants to. Any other person? You have nobody ministered to you. Come. Let's lift up our hands one more time and just give God thanks this morning. For his good and his mercies endure forever. Thank him for his faithfulness. As thanking for the largesse and the increase that is ours in the coming days. We're stepping over into a season. Oh, thank you, Father, for that which you have received individually. Just thank you for the word spoken. Thank you for your counsel received. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for comfort. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the seasons we're stepping into with clarity of insight and understanding. We step over into a new season entirely as a people and as individuals. Thank you for milestones. Milestones in life, milestones in family, milestones with respect to the work of our hands in every single area, because your hand is upon us for good. Oh, glati lesti la brash the kitten here. We call for every storm in homes and marriages to be still. In the name of Jesus, lestrona patia, we raise up a standard against the onslaught of the enemy. And that spirit of the world that is breaking homes all across the surface of the earth. In the name of Jesus, in this assembly, we put a stop. We put a stop. We put a stop. In the name of Jesus, you will find no room in this place. You foul spirit, we rebuke you. We command you stop in your operations and desist your maneuvers in the name of Jesus. We speak peace over homes, over marriages. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We give you glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.